time you read about it in the Wall Street Journal, it's already too late.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up, down, sideways.
Only problem you're going to have is that you didn't buy more.
Let me lock in that trade right now and get back to you with my secretary with an exact confirmation.
All right, buy or sell time. I give you and myself and Angel and all of us, all three of us together collectively as one. Three topics. Most of the time they're going to be sports related. Occasionally, we might throw something else out there. We'll see. But number one, just so happens to be our poll question of the day. Buy or sell, the Bills championship window is closed, for now. Buy or sell it, Angel?
I'm buying it.
Buying that it's closed. Shut her down.
I'm not biased.
Board this up. Board the window.
At least for a year or two.
Yeah, I'm buying it. I'm going to buy that, too.
I question about Sean McDermott's future there as well.
Oh, yeah. Big time. So we're both buying. You need to come up with like a sounder where it's if you sell and I buy, something in between. Something
all
like
cash.
That.
None of it's on the books.
Yeah. All right. Buying that one. Number two. Let's do this one. Tanner brought this up because Tanner likes to bring up things like this. Conspiracy theory. Are we buying or selling? The logo, the Super Bowl logo conspiracy argument that the two colors mixed in, kind of, into the logo every year for the last 3 or 4 years?
Last 3 years.
Have been the corresponding logo or colors to the two teams in the Super Bowl. Are we buying that or are we selling that?
I'm buying it. You go back to Super Bowl 56. It was orange and yellow, Bengals, Rams. Last year it was green and red, Philly and the Chiefs. This year it is red and purple.
Ooh.
Purple, obviously. There's only one purple team left.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's got to be Baltimore, and then the red would be San Francisco.
San Francisco.
But yeah. I have another theory on this. They didn't start doing these colored logos until after Tom Brady was done. So if you go back to Tom Brady's last Super Bowl with Tampa Bay against the Chiefs, their logo was the classic silver logo.
Yeah.
After that, they started doing these colored ones.
Because after Tom Brady, we're going to have to get really creative because
we have to maintain control of our product.
Oh, Angel. Angel. Mm-hmm. They found Bigfoot yet? They found him yet.
He's out there.
He's out there.
50 million documentaries on him.
I believe that more than I believe this one. I'm selling it, Angel. I'm selling this conspiracy theory.
I want you to get out there and sell, sell, sell.
Okay. Did you see Caitlin Clark, the superstar female basketball player for Iowa? They lost to Ohio State. And the fans go on to storm the court. Caitlin Clark's running, the fan's running, they run into each other. The fan gets up as if nothing had happened. The fan, not a finely tuned Division I athlete, gets up like nothing had happened. Caitlin Clark is dragged off the floor, holding her shoulder, and it hurts, and I'm lucky that it wasn't worse. Are we buying or selling that was really that big a deal that Caitlin Clark ran into or was ran into by a court stormer? Are we buying that it's as bad as the coaching staff, Lisa Bluter and Caitlin Clark are making it out to be? Buy or sell?
I'm selling it as hard as she sold that flop.
That was a flop.
Like,
that was a flop.
Watch the video. She is running off the court. I'd imagine basketball players have pretty good peripheral vision. You know, you got to know where you're out in the court. You got to know where your teammates are without looking at them.
Yeah, you would think so.
If you can't see this fan, and they're not like a small, it's not like a child.
You're not
it's
a
not
toddler.
Like me, you know, a stick. It's a large person with their phone up in the air, holding it up, saying, "Hey, look, let's record this for Snapchat." And you didn't see them, and you just,
Nope.
It's like, you know, when you were a kid and you're messing with your siblings and you push your sibling, like, you just lightly tap them and they throw themselves
and
on the floor.
Even if she was getting the full force of that,
how
fast were you running?
That's not break. That's like she walked up. Like,
no, she hits shoulder. Her, does the spin move, flops her hands up. Like it was it's almost, like, no, it was LeBron-esque.
There's no official here, Caitlin Clark. They're not going to call a foul. You can't go back and shoot free throws because
all her teammates just slowly walk over to her. Like, where were you going that you needed to get there so fast?
And then in the press conference, they're like, you know, what did you think of happened at the end or blah, blah, blah. And she goes, well, I'm really thankful it wasn't worse. I was like, a finally tuned athlete.
The fan took it harder. Like, the fan went face
did
first into
look
the court.
Whiplash from the fan, and she goes down, and she looks up like, sorry, and then runs back to celebrating. I'll admit, the first time I saw it, I was like, damn, fans, get your crap together. You can't
I'm no physics major, but I don't think that's how it works.
So you are selling this idea that it was that bad. I'm selling it as well.
Yes. I want you to get out there and sell, sell, sell!
Yeah, I just didn't...
But this goes to my point about stop storming the court. Just don't do it.
Yeah,
this is exactly why you don't do this stuff.
Or you got to create a barrier, like what I saw with CSU when they beat CU. They have like a little walk path created so they can get out of there, you know, so they're not actually out on the floor.
Like the spin flop is just, it's so exaggerated.
And I'm falling.
You didn't have to spin like that.
No, she didn't. Dude,
it's like a, oh, you knocked me off balance, not a.
I mean, I could see it if, like, you know, John Mobley was running at her. This is a fan. That's sitting in the stands, you know, eating a hot dog. And then they're running and you're running and then she plows you to the ground and you're like, I'm lucky I'm alive.
So there is an alternate angle from the back of the backboard. Looks like she extended her elbows a little bit.
I think we should call a foul on her.
Offensive foul.
You said Chris
Sargent.
Sit her out for 3 games.
Yeah.
I just don't think, like... The coach, and again, they were talking about like profanities being yelled at them, and I'm like, I mean,
how did you not see this?
This
person?
Is what happens in
They're
sports.
Like 3 feet in front of you. How did you not see?
Well, that? It reminded me of like those videos you see of like a toddler running to their mom, and then the dog takes them out because they couldn't see the dog running at them. It's a toddler; they're focused on mommy, and the dog's like, runs into the kid. But in this case, it's Caitlin Clark. Like, I need to get to the locker room. I'm dying.
Her teammates are just walking off the court like, oh, yeah, that was a tough game.
What are we doing
let's go,
here?
Let's go home and watch film.
I just didn't like
where's Caitlin going? She's in a hurry.
Yeah, I didn't like the post game either. Oh, I'm lucky I wasn't hurt worse.
Very dramatic experience.
I'm hanging in there, but man.
Imagine how that fan feels. I bruised my elbow pretty good. Well, I can't
obviously,
take notes in class today.
Obviously not very bad. She just looked back like, oh.
I want her video because she was holding her phone up filming. I want the video of that.
That was a weird deal. But hey, it's got us paying attention to the result of that game.
Oh, who are they playing?
Ohio State.
Oh.
And Ohio State beat them, obviously. That's why they stormed it.
Oh, I thought they did that because that'd be even funnier.
They just do it on a regular basis. Oh, I got a lot of texts on the football thing. The fumbling of the Big Hub says there's just no way KC made it to the AFC Championship game. Nobody would have thought that. I did.
Well, it happened.
I thought it was going to happen.
I
said
thought it last week. I said KC's going to pull something out of their back end and. They're going to win this game.
I picked Kansas City to win every game they've been in the playoffs so far. I also said 3 weeks left of the season. They're like LeBron James to me. They're like Golden State to me. Do not count them out until they prove otherwise. They might have had a weird year. Travis Kelce might have had a strange year. The receivers weren't showing up. But I'll believe it when I see it. I like Kansas City to go deep into the playoffs. So I did. I saw it coming. I know. Sounds arrogant and cocky, but, you know, if the shoe fits. Let's see. What else we got? I got a text here. The text line's not loading. I love our hooligans are in sync. You know, they really are.
Like
several
the band?
Yeah, pretty much. Several of them saying, you said Chris meant interference. You guys can translate better than I can. Texter here on the fumble touchback thing. The only reasonable solution I've heard is maybe giving the ball back to the offense, but moving it back to the 20. Down stays the same. But like,
so you get penalized for fumbling?
You just like get 20-yard penalty? No.
Fumble out of fumble into the end zone, 10-yard penalty, third down.
No.
What?
I don't like that.
No. Nobody got possession. It's a loose ball.
I like your idea of, okay, defense gets the ball, but they get it at the one.
You're on your own one. Fine. We'll call it a touchback then, but you're on your own one. So it's a fumble touchback. Fumble touchback, you get the ball on the one. That's it. Also, treat a fumble in the goal area at the 30-yard line. Fumble across goal line boundaries. Go back to the point of fumble. Mm-hmm. Well, see, and I'm still leaning. Honestly, I lean toward that
one
the most.
Then you give the offense the ball back and loss it down. If you fumble it at the goal line on third down, okay, you get the ball back, but it's fourth down.
And so you're kind of penalized for that.
Yeah.
Kind of a penalty.
It's not a redo. It's not a forget that just happened. Jump ball with the center and
just
the defensive
came to me.
Linemen.
Yep. No, jump ball between the kickers.
Yeah.
But they got to do it in the middle of the field.
Coaches.
Either way.
See Andy Reid just body Sean McDermott at midfield.
Middle of the field, though. So it's like in basketball.
We could do a race. Put the ball at midfield. Tell the coaches, on your mark, get set, go.
Yeah,
and they got to run across the field to get it. It's like dodgeball.
It's like a tie goes to the runner thing here. We keep calling it a touchback, but it's not a touchback. Touchbacks are in kickoffs and punts. That's what touchbacks are for. And for when an offense fumbles it out of their own end zone, it's safety. So we can't just say that that's the same thing. That's not the same thing as a touchback. You can't tell me that a guy fumbling forward and rolling out of bounds is the equivalent to a punt going into the end zone. That they're the same thing?
You're punishing the offense not because they fumbled, but because no one recovered the fumble.
Right. So next time, instead of punting it, I'm just going to fumble the ball, but I can fumble it better than I can punt it into the end zone.
I mean, could you intentionally fumble the ball 10 yards forward? Don't advance it, but you could almost like, I'm running. Oh, someone's coming. Bowling ball.
Football can be like, those things can do crazy things.
And it's not advancing a fumble. It's not, kicking a fumble upfield and then picking it up. It's,
right.
No, I actually just fumbled the ball and it happened to roll 10 yards out of bounds.
Yeah, you can't tell me that fumbling the ball into the end zone is a punt. That's not right. It's not the same thing. So, when they say like, The hand's going not going forward. If you fumble it, right? If it's going forward, it's an incomplete pass. So you could just, instead of punting it to the end zone, if you really want to just launch it backward, whatever. It's a punt now. Fumbled it forward.
Peyton Manning Super Bowl 48 thing.
Yeah.
Just whoops, I didn't see that.
Whoa.
That's the center's fault.
Dixon, if you give them the ball back, there's no reason to not try to be a hero and extend the ball out recklessly. But see, the NFL likes that because that's drama. They want you to extend the ball out recklessly.
They want Tony Romo to jump up out of his seat and say, oh, Jim, watch out. Buffalo got a shot here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Dixon says, so if the clock is running and you're in the middle of the field, help me out here, Angel. I always struggle with these long ones. So if the clock, it is like a word problem, and I hated word problems, bro. So if the clock is running and you are in the middle of the field, and you know you're going to be short, and clock keeps running, just go ahead and chuck it through the end zone.
Well, that's an
no. That's an advancement. Yeah, you're advancing the football.
You can convince the ball carrier to intentionally fumble forward,
and you can make it look like it was a fumble and you didn't intentionally shove it forward. But that's
and
advancing the ball.
Get an that long shaped ball to roll across the field and out of the corner of the end zone.
Right. And plus, we would say, no, we reviewed the play and you tried to do that on purpose.
You don't know that.
The results show you are lying. You have to maintain control of the ball through the goal line. Not through it. I mean, as soon as the tip of the football crosses over an inch, the smallest portion of the white line, it's a touchdown. So you don't really have to have control.
Has it always been that way? Crossing the plane? Or is that like a... Within the last 10, 15 years.
It feels like it's the last 10, 15 years, but I just think we dissect it closer than we ever have.
Well, then why do we have to paint the end zones? Just do the white line.
Yeah, why do you actually need the
whole paint there for?
Well, it's part of it. It's I get it. It's like you know, the
margins,
the book things,
bookends.
Yes, that's a complete. We like a complete looking thing there. Why do so many people not like this rule? Why is everyone trying to make it such an offensive oriented game? Reward the defense for causing a fumble close to the line. Simple. Leave the rule alone. Didn't recover
it. Agree
though.
To that, and no one recovered it. That's the first point. Second point is, why does the defense get an extra 25 yards?
Yeah, that's dumb. It's a touchback, but it wasn't a punt or a kick.
Yeah, but in this scenario, it is. Come on over here. It's kind of a kick, but it's not. Same result as a touchback. You might as well just kicked it to the end zone. Punted it.
It's just weird how it changes from the 1 to the 1 yard line. You could fumble anywhere, and if it goes out of bounds, you're good. But if it fumbles in the end zone, nope, you don't get the ball.
You lose it, and they get the ball, and they get the ball on the 20. Like, that doesn't...
How does that, like...
I don't like that.
It's weird.
It's dumb. But this is football, and I love football. It's my sport.
I don't like this narrative that, oh, we're leaning into the offensive football.
We do a lot, but not in this case.
Yes.
Like, you can't just give them the ball 20 yards. It's dumb. This
How
is
many
football,
holding,
though.
Like, there's holding on every play. There's a legal man downfield almost every play. There's some kind of... Every left or right tackle is doing that weird little leg kick, false start thing that never gets called.
NFL has so many, football in general, so many goofy rules. Going back to the Lions-Cowboys game, you know, the offensive lineman needs to check in and he's got to like signal to the ref, hey, me, it's me, I'm the one, I'm the guy checking in. So if you're a defense, you're like, hey, that guy's going to be eligible.
Why do all the refs have microphones, but they still have to meet up at the together to talk to
each
other?
Why do they have to talk for 4 million hours? Somebody threw a flag and knows exactly what the penalty is, but we have to talk for 4 million hours every time.
Oh, let me pull out my little notepad and
you guys,
write down everything.
What'd you say, John?
Yeah. Oh, you didn't mean to throw it. Why'd you throw the... Oh.
Well, we still got to call it because now we're going to look silly. You know?
I'm the one that has to turn on my microphone and speak to thousands of people.
Right. Dixon says, but in your theory, you're getting the ball back and the clock stops, so you might as well intentionally fumble it through the end zone.
It's not happening. You're
getting the clock involved.
Well, now
it's
you're
worried
like,
about possession.
But now we're talking about like person's brains and trying to fumble it forward. All right. 23 minutes after the hour. We will continue this conversation before we wrap up the show today. Wow. It's a party zone, Angel. I like parties. I do. Absolutely love parties. All right, let's get Steve Ivey. Another guy I'm pretty sure likes parties. Especially after Colorado State wins. They took care of UNLV. Let's talk to Steve Ivey next.
No Broncos. Oh, well, playoffs should be fun. Hear every NFL playoff game on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams. You're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
We're calling it. Don't call it a touchback. Steve Ivey's saying don't call it a comeback, although it was kind of a comeback. CSU came back to beat UNLV over the weekend, and that was a big win for Colorado State. Joining me now, Steve Ivey, who does his blog and podcast about all things Colorado State men's hoops at crackerscollegehoops.wordpress.com. Steve, my man, always great to catch up with you on a Monday.
Brady, how the heck are you? What a great week of college basketball. And even though I'm not the hugest NFL fan, there were some very good games over the weekend. I really enjoyed the games I watched over the weekend. So, but it was sure a fun week last week with CSU. And then obviously the Northern Colorado Bears having a great weekend and CU tattooing the Oregon school. So, you know, basketball on the up and up in Colorado right now.
Yeah, and even not far outside of Colorado too, with Wyoming beating Nevada. You know, I tweeted this out over the weekend, Steve. It's like rule number one this year, especially in the Mountain West, don't lose at home.
And Colorado State, so far, has not lost at home in the Mountain West.
Absolutely. You know, rule number two, Brady, don't give Linder a week to prepare for a team because they absolutely murdered Nevada.
Oh, crazy.
He had his team so ready. The guy's a great coach, and he had his team ready. And, you know, you look at it, you go, oh, my gosh, it's an upset. Nevada's a top 50 team. But you give Linder a week, he's going to beat a lot of teams. He's going to be tough this coming Saturday when CSU goes up there.
Yeah, some big games coming up for Colorado State, no question about it. This UNLV game, and again, if you follow the Mountain West closely like you do, then you knew that, hey, this game is not an easy game at all coming up with the Rebels. You know, maybe the casual fan likes to look at records and standings and everything, but this was a big win where I think many before that game even were thinking, man, UNLV could be one of those teams that squeezes in at some point. But this was a nice dub for Colorado State.
Yeah, you know, UNLV, if you look in depth at what's happened, you know, they opened the season. They have a lot of fifth-year senior transfers that came in, but they were missing from the lineup, and they really didn't get the team together until about eight games ago. And subsequently, their record is about 500 against top 50 teams, which says they're probably a top 50 team. They had a good road win against Boise right before they played CSU. They have a very, very good team, very talented, very experienced, one of the top 50 experienced teams. And then on top of it, a really good freshman point guard who was a five-star who reclassified from the 2024 class to the 2023 class. And they've got a really good roster, and they were coming in hot and playing well. And so that turned out to be just a fantastic game. CSU looked to be back on track after struggling against Air Force. They looked to be very much back on track against UNLV, and I think only the fact that they struggled shooting from the outside kept that game from being an even better win for CSU.
Steve, I watched one of Adam Nygon, our friend who does color commentary for CSU basketball on the radio side of things. He did a video a couple days ago, well before the UNLV game, about Joel Scott. Like, hey, you remember who you are. You got to be that guy out there. And that game, for the most part, he looked kind of like the Joel Scott we were seeing in the first like 5, 6, 7, 8 games. 14 points for him, 3 boards, but he was aggressive down in the paint.
He was really valuable, not just, you know, the scoring in the paint. That's what he does. He missed one shot the entire game, and that was basically a play he got fouled on when he went for a dunk. But it wasn't just his scoring. His defense was very, very good. And they had to play him a lot at the five to give Cartier a rest because Rashawn Mbemba struggled coming off the bench. So he had to put in a lot of good minutes at multiple positions, defending guys bigger than him. And the defense ultimately is what won CSU the game.
Steve Ivey joining us, talking Colorado State Rams hoops. And I kind of like it. I know this isn't exactly a popular take because, you know, sports fans don't want to have heart attacks every single night watching games. But there's a part of me, when CSU goes down, I'm kind of like, I lean in, not because I'm nervous, because I know a show's about to happen. Something clicks with Isaiah Stevens. He's a great player no matter what. But, man, when they're down, there was like three or four sequences there, or sequence, I guess, for Isaiah, where he made a big three, had a big pass, had a quick little two. I mean, he just had a special run there, which really I felt like kind of put Colorado State back in control.
Yeah, it was you know, we kind of laugh about it. We sit and turn to each other when it's the last 5 minutes of a close game and you just look and go, it's Zay time. And he goes to work, and you know, he had a really good, to get tied. They were down, you know, they were down 10 in the second half. They worked their way back, down 68-66, and he threw one of the great bounce passes of all time.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
To a cutting Josiah Strong. It was inch perfect 20-foot bounce pass for an easy layup. They get a stop, a really good stop, and then Isaiah comes down, makes a three. You know, he gets all of about 2 feet of space, and immediately that ball's going up. Next possession, he runs a little screen action with Pat Cartier, passes the ball, really good quick pass to Cartier, who nails a three, and that was the that was the 4-point lead that basically put him over the top. It was Zay at his best, and it's so hard to describe. You've seen it. You've been there in person. You've seen it. He just takes over, but it's so, it's not casual, but it's just so, you just see it coming, and everybody knows it's coming, and the other team can't stop it as hard as they try. And you just kind of sit back and you enjoy it because you know it's coming. It's inevitable.
It's interesting with Isaiah, too. It's not, and this isn't actually a bad thing at all, but it's not like this overwhelming, and the passes sometimes are, but it's just nice shots. It's just consistent shots. And I think that's actually a better compliment to him, that even when he's on this, you know, like with the Nuggets, they call it the Murray flurry. And I always kind of joked at that, like, man, I want a player that doesn't need the Murray flurry throughout a game and need to have a 4-minute stretch or whatever. So Stevens is that guy. He's consistent throughout, but then he just has a slight uptick when it's win time, and I absolutely love it.
Yeah, that's what makes him the great player he is. You know, if you look at, and this is not meant to be a slam on the UNLV freshman point guard DJ Thomas. But he didn't have it. He doesn't have what Isaiah has yet. Will he get it? I assume he will. He's very, very good. But if you watched UNLV down the stretch, they didn't get what they needed out of DJ Thomas. They were down by two, and he missed a short 8-foot baseline jumper, missed it badly. And so those are the kinds of things you don't see from Zay. And that you see from players that are a little lesser quality, and that kid is a really good player. Isaiah just happens to step up his game at money time.
All right, so Steve, CSU with that win, and they needed these. They got Air Force, they got UNLV. We talked about those games, both kind of scary situations for the Rams, but at the end of the day, they're dubs, had to win them. Now they're back in the top 25. So the AP's got them, the poll's got them at 24, coaches poll has them at 23. So at least last week, mission accomplished for Colorado State. They move on now. In 2 days, they got to go to Nevada. And then, as you just mentioned earlier, playing in Wyoming, it's always kind of tough. But the Cowboys are proving that they're more than just a bottom-of-the-barrel Mountain West team.
Yeah, you know, let's start with Nevada. Nevada, CSU might be, we'll see what happens there. Nevada's lost 3 in a row. They were very, very much in the NCAA field up until the last 3 games, and they're basically playing themselves out of it. They've been struggling. They dropped a game at home to Boise State, who's very good. They went on the road to San Diego State, and then Laramie. And so they've lost 3 in a row, and their season is on the brink right now in terms of championships and NCAA bids. And so it's going to be a tough game in Reno for the Rams. But if the Rams want to win a Mountain West title, this is a game you basically have to look at and go, it's more than an opportunity. This is a game where I think we've got to see CSU step up. And this is a game where they've got to bring home the W. And then you come home, you fly home on Wednesday night, and you get a day and a half to prepare, and then you head up to Laramie. And like I said, Wyoming, they're 3-2. All 3 wins are at home. 2 buzzer beaters and then a really good win over Nevada. That's going to be a brutal game. It'll be a tough game. Wyoming will have an extra day of rest to get ready for it. So it's going to be a tough game for the Rams on Saturday up in Laramie.
Oh, yeah, and then you get to come back home to Moby Arena on the 30th and take on San Diego State. So the next 3 games are going to be really difficult for Colorado State. And we'll see what they end up doing, my friend.
Yeah, you know, the joy, you know, I think that the fun, Brady, you know, you go, oh my gosh, 3 tough games in a row. Well, that's the joy of the Mountain West this year. There aren't any breathers. And I tell people all the time, CSU probably plays the toughest schedule of anybody because, you know, you talk about, quote, the lower ranked teams like Wyoming and Air Force. Those are rivalry games. Those are games that are where the teams are basically dead even going into the game because they don't like each other. There is no other team in the Mountain West that plays rivalry games like CSU. And so, you know, you're supposed to get the breathers. You don't. The only games you, quote, have breathers in are the single games against Fresno State and San Jose State, and they're both decent teams. Those are the breathers. Everything else, 16 out of the 18 are tough. And so they've got to be up, and you got to be ready to play every game. You've got to be not just ready to play every game, but you've got to prepare. Every game is singular. You can't even be talking about a Mountain West Conference championship right now. You can only be talking about the next game that's in front of you.
Yeah, next one coming up at Nevada should be a big test for Colorado State. Steve, my man, throw that out there for our listeners where they can follow you along, your Twitter, your X account, your site where folks can check out your blog and each and, you know, when you're doing your podcast too, each and every week.
Yeah, so you can catch me on X/Twitter at Swolecracker, SwollCracker. My blog is at crackerscollegehoops.wordpress.com, as you mentioned earlier. And then I come out with a weekly podcast, usually Monday mornings on Spotify, and you can find that at Crackers College Hoops. I didn't do one this morning. I'm a little bit under the weather. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, but I'm a little bit under the weather. I'm going to try and record it tonight, and I'll talk about just a bunch of interesting tidbits. You know, the one thing I wanted to talk about, Brady, we didn't get a chance to, and hopefully I got a little bit of time to do it. The game at UNLV was really, really a lot of fun, and just from a game management perspective, the national anthem with a guy playing a guitar like Jimi Hendrix, the halftime with a guy making his first shot from half court to win beer for a year, a lot of fun, a lot of energy in the building. And I have to tell you, after the game, and I'll talk about this, and I mentioned it in my my game report, but I'll talk about it a little more on my podcast when I record it. I was giving Joe Palmer a little bit of gas, you know, and I have a good relationship with Joe, and I had a little fun with him. I said, Joe, you were 0-for-5 against UNLV. That kid from they brought a kid out at halftime, and he hit his half-court shot for beer, and it was his first shot. I said, Joe, instead of going to the locker room, you need to be out at half-court taking lessons how to shoot, man. And he laughed. We had a good time with it. But, you know, I'll that's the kind of stuff I like to talk about in my podcast. Get a little more personal, and, you know, Joe is so good-natured. I can rib him and stuff, and so I'll try and record the podcast either tonight or maybe tomorrow morning.
Yeah, Steve, I love that kind of stuff, that insight that you can give us, and I think it's great. Okay, this is an unpopular question. I got about 2 minutes, an unpopular take here. Okay, so I know Jenny Kavnar was doing the game on FS1, and it was the orange out. They were the Aggies. She's calling them the Aggies the whole time. Steve, I'm trying not to be a jerk, and I know it's tradition and all that, but they're still the Rams, okay? Like, we're transferring, and we're transforming. That was weird to me, but I know Rams fans will absolutely hate that take.
You know, Brady, to be honest with you, as a marketing professional, I'm kind of with you. The brand is the Rams.
Yeah, like if you...
The game is a special game, and we
yes.
love the Orange out, and we love to honor... the Aggies, but I'm with you, man. They're the Rams.
Yeah, like if I'm a random person tuning into that game and I'm like, oh, is this that Rams? And then I'm not paying close attention and then I hear Aggies like three times, I'm going to be like, I don't know. And I know, you'd have to be you have to be not great at following basketball to fall for that. But still, like Rams, 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 Rams. It's always Rams. It should always be Rams. You became the Rams. You're not the Aggies. Honor tradition. Honor the orange. But you're the Rams. There it is, Steve.
Can we agree that maybe Jenny fumbled one out of the end zone on that?
Well, then UNLV gets the ball in the 20 now, you know? Good for them. It's good. All right, Steve, appreciate you, my friend, and we'll catch up with you next week.
You bet, Brady. Good talking to you. Go Rams.
You too. Go Aggies as well. Like, I get it. They're wearing their orange. It's the orange out, and they used to be the Aggies in, like, 1942 or whatever. But, like, and I know Jenny went to CSU, but you got to try to not be biased. She's calling them the Aggies the whole time. She's like, oh, three-pointer, the Aggies. And I'm just like, no, you are the Rams. This isn't the WWE where, you know, Mick Foley comes out as Mankind, and then in 3 months later, Mankind dies, and now you're a Cactus Jack. No, you are the Rams. Unless you want to go back to be the Aggies, you are the Rams. 43 minutes after the hour. Let me read this text first. Eastside Chris. You guys are still on. Bring an insider penalty specialist to help with understanding the calls. Oh, wait, you've got Coach Bruce in the house.
I think I know the calls, Eastside Chris. I know what happened. It's you fumble the ball out of bounds in the end zone, and it's a touchback. And I'm saying it's stupid. 44 after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
It's a hot topic, not the store. Those still around anymore? They are? They still sell band shirts in there and stuff? Like, I used to go in there for that. But not all the weird bracelets with spikes sticking out of it and stuff like that. Candles.
I haven't been to a mall in a long time, so I don't know. I never really went into Hot Topic much either.
Well, I like to just buy band t-shirts. That's where you could get them. It was cool. But now we got Amazon. No need to do that. A lot of people jumping on this. Spencer says, this is the most illogical rule ever. The defense never took possession of the football. And in zero other instances of play, does the defense get awarded a turnover without gaining possession? Yeah. I mean, that's what's dumb. But Brady, it's a touchback. No. That's where I really hate getting hung up on that, because it's not a kickoff and it's not a punt. Why are we saying a special teams thing is now part of regular play? It's silly. Another texter says, I agree with the penalty. Get the ball at the 20-yard line and loss of down, just like an intentional grounding. Keep the first down marker the same. That's kind of where you were going with it earlier, with the penalty thing.
Penalty on the offense?
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Oh, you don't like that. Okay. Well, you just talked about loss of down.
Yeah,
which I guess would be kind of a penalty.
Redo, the offense keeps the ball from wherever it was fumbled, but you lose the down.
Mm.
So it's not a redo. It's not a, oh, that didn't happen. It happened, but it was also the play on that down.
So yeah.
It's fourth down.
Scott says, where would you spot the ball? Dumb rule, but spotting is unidentified.
Spot it at the one.
Somebody's getting it to one. Whether you want to give it to the offense or defense, I guess we're having that discussion. I'm going to be in on these meetings, on the front floor of this thing, on the front line of this thing. 48 minutes after the hour, what did we learn? Coming up next, it's The Whole Show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Scores, interviews, and more. Preps Rewind with Mike Danson. Saturdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
I learned on this 22nd day of January that we may never come to an agreement on the fumble out of bounds touchback thingy in the end zone. Maybe that's a poll question for tomorrow, because we'll see. People on social media are kind of agreeing with me, but the text line certainly not so much, save for like our boy Eastside Chris. That's what I learned, is that this would be a tough one to change, because it's going to be controversial, because it's probably 50-50 right down the middle. Angel, what'd you learn today?
I learned that basketball is good here in the state. I learned that hopefully the Bills window is closed. For my sake, for the sanity of all AFC East fandoms.
I think you can be safe for a little bit.
I hope so. I think
it's closed for a little bit.
I thought that this year. That didn't happen.
I don't know. I like Josh Allen. He's
great.
And
I'm officially done rooting for AFC teams. My team lost to the Chiefs twice, the Bills twice, and the Ravens.
You got to root for the Baltimore Ravens. The most entertaining, most electrifying man.
Entertaining is
in all of sports. Oh, he's so entertaining. He makes man miss. Make man miss.
As a product, yes. Subjectively, he's a football player.
That's better than any football player out on the field right now.
Well, yeah, because Mahomes is on the bench right now and Lamar's on the field.
We got picks coming up on Friday.
And I'm just telling you.
I mean, did you see William Holmes was dodging those snowballs? I don't know if Lamar could do that.
Lamar can do anything. He's the only one that can stop Taylor Swift madness from going to the Super Bowl. Do you want to see that at the Super Bowl, Angel? Do you want to see Taylor Swift madness at the Super Bowl? They could go lose the Super Bowl. Doesn't matter. Damage done. She will be there. She will be the talk of the bowl.
She'll probably be there anyway.
No, not if the Chiefs aren't in it. We're not going to talk about her anymore. Lamar Jackson.
She's a big football fan now.
Lamar Jackson.
It's not just about Travis.
Is the hero we is maybe not the hero we deserve, Angel, but he's the hero we need right now. We don't want Taylor Swift madness. We deserve him. Get rid of the Taylor Swift madness. It's over. The bad girl can't hurt you anymore. You know?
I don't think that's the song of hers.
I thought you were going to say, that doesn't sound like a bad thing. No, Lamar Jackson's our only hope. It's Star Wars. It's all that stuff, man. He's our only hope. You want to keep seeing this at the biggest level in sports? Then you will.
I'm not opposed to the Chiefs winning it.
You got
to
get behind the Lamar train, man, or this Taylor Swift thing's going to get worse. It's going to take on its own life form, and it won't stop, ever. It's only going to be worse. The questions to the players will be, do you realize you're playing against Taylor Swift's boyfriend? Travis, do you realize you're Taylor Swift's boyfriend? Like, it's going to be stuff like that. Do we want that? Lamar Jackson, you are the man. You are the hero that we need to put an end to the Swifties' nonsense that we've all encountered all season long. Good night, Northern Colorado.